LA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 25 cents more than this time last year. And the national average could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon this spring. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget included millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays. Florida Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that include no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. And the National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it is unconstitutional.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
All right, 3 minutes after the hour, the Monday edition of Ed Dean and the Morning Show. Ed Dean again here along with Roger Henderson. Don't forget any part of the Morning Show that you want to listen also through your smartphone. Just go to WBOB.com, WBOB.com. So the National Rifle Association has come out very quickly. I think they were expecting this. They are now going to sue the state of Florida base because they say that the new gun bill that Governor Rick Scott has signed into law basically is unconstitutional, which would raise the minimum age to buy any rifle from ages 18 to 21. Our affiliate at Jacksonville, News 4 Jax, here is Scott Johnson with the very news story.
In 3 hours of Governor Scott signing gun control legislation on Friday, we learned the National Rifle Association was suing the state. The NRA is arguing a very specific portion of this bill is wrong in their eyes because it raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. Banning long rifles like the AR-15 is not common nationwide. Very few states do it, and if this heads to the Supreme Court, Florida's law could really impact the country. And the bill fell short of an all-out assault weapons ban like some of the victims of the mass shooting in South Florida were calling for. It needs to move pretty quickly, not thinking it will take the federal judge too long to make any sort of ruling. I met up with Rod Sullivan, a former constitutional law professor, who says the district court judge on this case is more liberal in his rulings and could favor the state. But the NRA will probably fight this case to the end.
Ah, there you go. Not a liberal judge looking at maybe making a decision. It will be based on the Constitution or not. To the very case, former constitutional law professor Rod Sullivan has a little bit of breakdown of where this lawsuit may go for the NRA.
I'm really not surprised. They were obviously waiting for the governor to sign the bill. They were ready to pounce on the issue. And the complaint they drafted was not drafted in a day. I don't predict they're going to succeed at the district court level in Tallahassee. I think they will lose there. But from there, they get a chance to go to the 11th Circuit in Atlanta. And after that, they have the chance to go to the U.S. Supreme Court and raise this issue there. Yeah, it does come down to the Second Amendment in that the Second Amendment is different. It's a fundamental right. It's not like the right to buy cigarettes or to drink alcohol. This is a right that's in the Constitution.
Now, the bill also included, are you ready for this, 12 hours of diversity training. No one can explain what the diversity training is all about. We will try to do it here today. Here is Tucker Carlson from Tucker Carlson Tonight.
Well, Florida's Republican-controlled legislature just passed a battery of new gun control laws. The specific law raises the minimum age for buying a gun in the state to 21. It imposes a minimum 3-day waiting period and bans bump stocks. It also creates a school for arming employees, but requires them to complete at least 12 hours of diversity training. Tell me why it contains 12 hours of mandatory diversity training. How would that stop mass shootings? But let me just re-ask my question. How would that prevent future mass shootings, which is, I thought, the point of this?
State Representative Democrat David Richardson tries to explain why would it was, remember, diversity training included in a gun control bill.
Well, I think the diversity training was added because it would give everyone an opportunity to understand different communities and their needs and the diversity. So I know that there was a lot of concern from the communities of color about putting guns in schools and the stand your ground laws here in the state of Florida. And so there felt like it would be beneficial to have diversity training as
parents, civil rights groups, and some Democrat leaders warn that parts of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Act could have deadly and unintended consequences for students of color. Some of the news reports out there as of over the weekend say that the measure in question establishes a voluntary guardian program that allows personnel who meet certain criteria, of course, to carry firearms in the public schools. But some of those, especially the Democrats in the State House and State Senate, say that minority students who are often subject to disproportionate levels of punishment compared to white counterparts or more likely to be mistaken for perpetrators could become targets. Roger Henderson, where in the world did this become a race issue again?
You know what? People, I think, are sensitive to these kind of things.
Really? Let's just get to it. How many mass shootings in schools are happening in black neighborhoods? Zero.
Yeah, you're right.
How many are happening in black? They're all Newtown, Parkland, Florida. I mean, the NAACP is calling for a national confiscation guns program out there. They're saying that parents of black students in the state of Florida would consider pulling their children if this was adopted, the program. If you really want to play the race card, when you look at the majority of those at Stoneman Douglas High School, we're all white. How has this story become a race argument?
Well, here's another thing. A lot of leaders in the black community, I have heard when criticism comes about black-on-black crime, they typically will sometimes go to some of these mass shootings that you see, whether they be at schools or even movie theaters, to say, hey, you know, we don't see black people shooting up a movie theater or a school. So, you know, crime isn't necessarily just something that's exclusive to the black community. So this is very interesting.
As the NRA approaches its lawsuit against the state of Florida, federal lawsuit to block raising the ages 18 to 21, here's another interesting clip that was with this discussion the other evening with Tucker Carlson. He says, if we've got the constitutional right to carry a gun, why don't we just raise the age when it comes to a constitutional right for voting rights, the constitutional right for the freedom of speech?
But just from a constitutional rights perspective, so that's a right specifically mentioned in the Constitution. Okay, it's not like the right to buy alcohol. I mean, specifically mentioned. Are there any other rights specifically mentioned, like the right to vote or the right to free speech, that we could kind of bump the age cap up to 21 on?
The Commerce Department over the weekend says revised economic numbers, 313,000 jobs created. Only expected was about 200, maybe 235. The economy is roaring out there. And yet when the Democrats are asked, can you give Trump any credit? They're kind of very hesitant. From CNN, Allison Camerato had Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut ask this very question. How come the Democrats, with all the economic news, can't give President Trump any credit or partial credit?
Very strong economy at home, obviously. Look at what's happening with the jobless numbers that will be out this morning and the stock market. Lowest corporate tax rate ever. And people on both sides said that they wanted to bring the corporate tax rate down. So why, from where you sit, I don't hear Democrats often giving the president credit for this. What gets in your way of giving him credit for some of these things?
Now, of course, Blumenthal, besides being asked the very question about economic news, brought up crime and health care. And then you're going to hear something which is becoming a little bit sounding too familiar with nothing based on fact. They say that all of this isn't really because of Trump, but because of later the groundwork and the foundation of President Barack H. Obama.
And there remain severe economic problems and challenges that we need to surmount. The problem of gun violence in our society remains without real action. Our healthcare system needs to be improved so that people have access to real quality medical care and treatment.
Yeah,
there remain challenges that need to be overcome.
But do you give him credit for those things that I just outlined?
I will give him partial credit for some of them. The economy, for example, is, with all due respect, the result of policies begun and sustained by President Obama. And he's enjoying a lot of the credit for it.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to insert it, but I mean, that is kind of a little bit hysterical right there that President Obama will continue to get the credit for all this.
You know, the thing about it, these guys, they've really, you can kind of tell if someone's just trying to, you know, throw in some spin. They really believe that.
They do believe it. Yeah. It didn't even sound like it was choreographed. He was just kind of, they kind of make it up as they go along
right.
on that issue. But quite taken, here was Hannity when he says, you take a look back at over all the success, that the Dems can't give President Obama. This is from the Fox News Network.
Take a look at these numbers. Dow Jones now soared today to over 25,000, its highest number ever. The job market continues to boom. ADP reporting today 250,000 new jobs created in December alone, which is the most in 9 months for that survey.
That's what he was talking about before the other February numbers had come out as well. They were talking about the yearly economic numbers.
Job cut announcements in 2017 see the lowest level since 1990, Challenger report says. Manufacturing in the U.S. just accelerated to its best year since 2004. Unemployment, a 17-year low, 4.1%. Under President Trump, before the 250,000 jobs, 1.7 million jobs were created. That's now 2 million jobs. African-American unemployment in America is now at a 17-year low. Food stamp use is at a 7-year low. 2 million fewer people using food stamps now under President Trump in 1 year. Home prices are up 6%.
There you go. And that's all because of Barack H. Obama.
You know what? You have to say that the economy did improve over the W. Bush economy, but that really wasn't W. Bush's fault. I think that was really triggered by 9/11.
Say that one more time.
The Obama economy was probably better, at least toward the waning years, than the W. Bush economy. He did improve it over there. The whether it would have improved on its own is another question, but I even think with W. Bush, the economic problems we're having during those years was because of 9/11.
I'm not following you, dude. None of that. No offense, that didn't make any sense to me. 9/11. Why? If you have an economic,
well, we had a major, dip in the stock market after that.
True, but if 9/11 happened in 2001, the recession didn't happen in 2008. How could that be effect 7 years later?
Just took a while to come back, I think.
Oh, you think so? Okay, well, yeah, you're reaching there. More as we continue to move along. Oh boy. So anyway, it's kind of interesting. I mean, when you look at the recession in 2009, it ended technically in June. They say when you have two economic quarters, or 3 month economic quarters. Well, Obama came in January, so 6-7 months later, I mean, could you sit back and say, well, okay, some of the siphoning of jobs happened probably underneath the last budget of Bush. I mean, it's almost like the definition of is, but some of the questions... Are we not giving enough credit to Barack H. Obama for the good economic numbers out there? Also, another question, the NRA is going to sue the state of Florida based on, they say, that the constitutionality from raising the ages of 18 to 21 is unconstitutional. Really? The Constitution's not even conversates or converses about the conversation about what an age should be. So how is it unconstitutional 18 if it's unconstitutional 21? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I hear a lot of the pundits talk about how, The legal age of drinking, for example, is not in the Constitution. Well, you know what? 21st Amendment, the repeal of prohibition, maybe it is constitutional.
That's got nothing to do with the age. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
And on the roads, we aren't seeing any accidents or broken down cars slowing you down. There is construction that continues at Bay Meadows Road, west at Old Bay Meadows Road, and in Clay County, Blanding Boulevard at Brandonfield Road. There's a construction project that has the left lane blocked there. Traffic brought to you by Schneider Heating and Air. Cloudy, cooler, and breezy today. We'll see a high of 64. This evening, clear and cool. Overnight, the low of 41. And right now, it is 62 here at WBOB.
Back to the Ed Dean Radio Show. Gallagher next, Prager at noon, Savage at 3, Levin at 6. Talk Radio. WBOB.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming year. The budget included millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays. Florida Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that include no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. The National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional. And according to AAA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 25 cents more than it was this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon by this spring.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Don't forget to download the app. Go to WBOB.com, WBOB.com, to listen to us anywhere you would like. More as we continue to move along. As many of you know, the presidential election is, well, it's couple of years away. People probably within next year of this time will start making announcements about whether or not they're looking to run on the Democrat side. Whether it's CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, they're talking about at least 20 to 25 candidates could be running. One of those names that's been thrown around a lot has been Elizabeth Warren. Pocahontas, as Donald Trump calls her, from the state of Massachusetts. She was on Fox News Sunday over the weekend with John Roberts. He asked her this question about, are you going to run, number one? Number two, will you take a DNA test about your American Native heritage?
A moment here, if you would. There are many people who are saying, should you choose to run in 2020? And one of these groups is the Berkshire Eagle, Massachusetts newspaper that endorsed you in 2012, that the issue of your ancestry will come up. And they're suggesting that you put it to rest, saying, quote, that Elizabeth Warren should screw up her courage and take the spit test, a DNA test, that a positive test would permanently resolve the issue while possibly shutting down President Trump. Would you be willing to take a DNA test to put this issue to rest?
I mean, isn't that the right thing to do? If somebody makes a claim, and now you may sit back and say, yeah, I mean, it's a childhood claim. It's just nonsense tweets some have said on the left. I don't need to. What's the word? Dignify that point out there. So this is kind of a question that was asked on Fox News Sunday by that of John Roberts. Here was the response. Are you ready for this? Are you going to take a DNA test? And she says about, well, first off, she'll give you the answer about whether or not she's going to run. But she follows it up about, and you be the judge, whether or not she's going to take the DNA test to prove that she is, if you listen to her excuse, why she, you know, is an American Native or has ancestry from American Native.
I am not running for president in 2020. I know who I am because of what my mother and my father told me, what my grandmother and my grandfather told me, what all my aunts and uncles told me, and my brothers. It's a part of who I am, and no one's ever going to take that away.
Did you hear an answer?
She's not taking the test. But here's the
thing. Yes, exactly.
Can I be honest with you? And I hate to sound like I'm defending her, but in our family oral history, I was told all my life that my great-grandmother was half Cherokee. So I took the DNA test recently, a couple of years ago. Zero Native American ancestry. We were told it. I believed it.
Wait. How can you defend her?
Well, maybe if she had, I have basically the same story. It was passed down.
You took the test. Listen, I know parents that tell some of their kids that are grown up now, you're beautiful. You're brilliant. And then when you listen to them talk, you're like, I think you need to take an IQ test. Trust me, you're not that brilliant. So what I'm getting at is that you took the DNA test.
Yes.
If this is correct, just take the DNA test to prove President Trump is wrong. The media would love that, would they not?
Yeah, my Aunt Barbara, she actually has a mother, her mother, a different mother, my mom's half-sister. Her mom actually is registered with one of the Native American tribes as a member. She took the Ancestry.com DNA test. She is completely bummed out because she's got no Native American ancestry either.
I mean, why? I mean, this would be significant. She could totally throw the president under the bus. She would be totally, vilify the president. The media would love this. And just an interesting question. Has anybody from CNN, has anybody from the, quote, mainstream media, has anybody ever asked Elizabeth Warren that question before?
This is the first time I've ever heard it asked, but
have you ever heard her answer it?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not with respect to DNA, but I really believe she probably thought so.
Now, not that this should have been a deciding factor whether or not she should have been elected back after beating Scott, whatever his name was, when he won 2014 after the Ted Kennedy lost in 2010. I guess it was 2012, I guess, when it came up or whatever. Yeah, it was 2012. But anyway, to make the long story short, why not just take the test, embarrass them in president, and let them have it?
I wonder whether or not she's actually taken the test herself privately and didn't tell anyone of the results. She probably
knows.
Well,
if she was correct and she's taken the test, why would you not be truthful about it?
Maybe she doesn't want to get egg on her face. But it's not her fault if she actually believed that, because that was what
she
was told.
Sure it is her fault. If she can take the DNA test, I mean, how can you defend her? The difference, you said you took the test. She hasn't.
And I'm willing to admit that I have no Native American ancestry.
Well, yeah, but you were told that.
I was told that all
my
life.
She's been told that. The one she'd take the test. Oh, boy. Anyway, so the media, are you ready? The media finally has had their 28th. Let me see. What was this? This was the 28th TV Radio First Amendment Awards that the media just recently had. And you're going to listen to journalists like Doug Shelley and, of course, Meet the Press Chuck Todd talking about how they finally are able to have their own gathering about having their own conversation and not being attacked by President Trump and those that claim to the media being of fake news.
In our nation's capital, during which we can find safe haven from cries of fake news and enemy of the American people. Never in our nation's modern history has it been more dangerous to be a journalist.
I've heard this claim from CNN. They claim that because of President Trump, that the rise of terrorism against journalism is at an all-time high. May I remind people that a lot of this happened underneath W when going into the war to Iraq. You saw what happened to Daniel Pearl back in, 2004. You saw what's happened to many of those have been beheaded by that of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But somehow you just heard the claim that, again, the enemy of the state, that journalism are just on an all-time high of being, you know, treated like, hey, we're enemies of the state and our lives are at risk.
I've never heard of anyone who is in journalism actually injured or hurt or killed because of President Trump ever.
Which we can find safe haven from cries of fake news and enemy of the American people. Never in our nation's modern history has it been more dangerous to be a journalist. So toxic is today's environment that newsrooms have had to drastically increase security. Some news organizations have felt it necessary to send their crews into the field with armed security guards.
Now, can I ask why? I mean, if there is a... Is this somehow a dig at conservatives? Is this a dig at the Trump crowd? I mean, if there are cases, even an isolated case, but if there are cases of conservatives attacking the media, I mean, I know that the president, I know that maybe when news outlets follow the president at a rally here in Florida, that maybe people might, you know, they give a certain finger salute maybe to the media and things like that. But big deal. I mean, we've seen that from the left to those of conservative talk radio and Fox News.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I don't believe that journalists are any more danger than they were before. In fact, they're probably safer now.
Maybe they themselves are the danger to the culture and environment that we live in today.
None of tonight's honorees. And no one else in this room is a purveyor of fake news, and no one in this room is an enemy of the American people.
Now meet the press, Chuck Todd, with all these guys were getting their own awards, and listen to what he had to say.
One thing we're not is the opposition. We've never tried to be a part of the political debate, but people want to drag us into it. We shouldn't take the bait. We're simply a voice of truth. There's no balance. There's just fairness and truth. And a true voice, and the truth is what we all need to be hearing right now. A voice that no matter how many disparaging tweets or calls of fake news, we can't be, let it be silenced. There's plenty of people trying to undermine what we do for a living. There's plenty of people that are motivated to undermine us for their own gain, political, financial, or whatever. Just keep that in mind. We just need to be fair, credible, honest, and most importantly, transparent. Because I believe in the 21st century, transparency is the new objectivity.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Listen to these guys brag about themselves is like listening to an awards banquet by a bunch of criminals where they, hey, man, that was a great job of you breaking in that B&E, but I topped that up with a B&E plus two, and I was able to nail a couple extra cars. I mean, it's like they're giving them awards for whatever reason they want to give them awards over something that they act like they're doing what they feel that they need to do, and they should get credit for it. But when you listen again to what Chuck Todd said one more time right here, where he says we kind of don't get involved when it comes to making the news.
Tried to be a part of the political debate. But people want to drag us into it.
Really? People want to try. Do you not think that they automatically get into the political debate?
I think
people dragging them into it.
I think it's inadvertent. I think they would prefer to be at least labeled objective.
They would like to be. Do you think they're really objective?
Sometimes I think they try to, but I think their passions and their principles and ideals kind of make it into the news sometimes inadvertently.
Really, on that case as well.
During which we can find safe haven from cries of fake news. An enemy of the American people. Never in our nation's modern history has it been more dangerous to be a journalist.
I'd love to hear the quotes and the reasons why and all that, especially when it comes to this issue about whether or not that they think that they have a major problem with that. Can we float that other one over? Can we do that? All right, I just want to make, because I want to be to some of the, and so anyway, so there you go. There's some of the top issues right there. And of course, one of the other big issues we've been discussing about the NRA suing the state of Florida that it's unconstitutional to raise the age of 18 to 21 when it comes to buying a weapon. More is this as we continue to move along. Here's a couple questions I want to ask you this morning at 222-TALK-222-8255. Is it unconstitutional for the state of Florida to raise, now be careful about this, to raise the age from 18 to 21? Why is the age at 18? Because the Constitution, same thing what the age should be when it comes to buying guns. What? I mean, here's an interesting other question. If you can, if health care is a right and those underneath Obamacare can be under their parents' health care to 26, why not just raise it to 26 then? What about the freedom of speech? Isn't that a constitutional right? What about when it comes to voting? Should we not raise the age limit there? Also, sensitivity training. We played the clip earlier. 12 hours of sensitivity and diversity training with the new Florida gun bill because those of, as they say, students of color are afraid that they will be shot. Do you buy into that? Want to know what you think? NRA suing the state of Florida? Who's going to win this? What do you think about this lawsuit? Do you think it goes far enough? And what do you think about the gun bill that the Republicans passed on Friday? 222-TALK, 222-8255. More as we continue to move along. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
At 6, right now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Talk Radio, WBOB.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Governor Rick Scott signs an education bill that includes no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. The National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional. According to AAA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 25 cents more this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon this spring. And the Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget includes millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
32 minutes after the hour. Good morning, Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson, right here on Talk Radio WBOB. So Florida Governor Rick Scott has signed into measure an education bill by the Senate and the House would create some of the free speech zones. Many individuals have said that they've been able to, well, there's more of a biases from the left, but when it comes to conservative speakers, that we should have these, like, you know, gun-free zones, Roger Henderson, but free speech zones where we can come out there and say something without being ridiculed or kicked off the campus of colleges, even here in the state of Florida. But also included in that bill would also to be decertification of teachers' unions, where members of unions generally are not required by the state, some would say, to pay the dues because Florida's a right-to-work state. But a lot of those in the unions and members of the unions are required to pay union dues as well, but they want to have a decertification. House Speaker Richard Corcoran says it's inconceivable that you would have an organized union that hasn't even the support of 50% of its people. Basically, what the bill would say is, if you don't have 50, like, let's say it's a teacher's education. You got so many of these local teachers' educations association, better known as teachers' unions, and several of the counties here in the state of Florida, that if you have, let's say, that 40% of the teachers pay into a union, that 40% should have a 50% rule. If you don't have over 50% of members, then how can you be able to sit back and say, well, the majority of our members sit back and say, well, we support this or we support that, so they wanted to certify. Some would say it's a good move, but the teachers unions act like this is bad, this is going to hurt Florida education, it doesn't make sense. So
it surprised me yet to even learn that that was actually the policy, that you could have 40-30% of the teachers in the union, but they actually have the clout as if it's more than half.
Yeah, and it's amazing, teacher union membership throughout the country, that it's they've gone down, but yet they're still the biggest spender when it comes to campaign and political contributions out there. So Governor Rick Scott has signed this into bill. Some have said that the teachers unions have pretty much gotten a pretty strong whack over the last several years, that the tax credit scholarships here in the state of Florida have been deemed as constitutional tax credits for companies that want to donate money to private organizations that would give a lot of money, for example, for low-income parents 2/3 of those and minority students of blacks and of Hispanics benefit from that, where they can send their children and help obtain some of that money to send their children to a private school. The teachers' unions are all against that as well. I'm always curious why there's never been a big argument about that.
Yeah, it's the power of the lobby, I think, more than anything else. But I think probably what's going to be the consequences is instead of seeing teachers' unions across the state of Florida become decertified, I think there's probably going to be more dues-paying teachers now, because they're probably just trying to save a buck is the reason why they're not paying their dues.
The economy, the revised jobs over the weekend, you remember, were about 235. Now it's been revised upward, where they've created 313,000 jobs in the month of February, where everything just incredibly had increased. And yet, when asked about this question, can the president get any type of credit? It's all being downplayed by the Democrats. Here with CNN, Allison Camerato asking Democrat Senator from Connecticut, Richard Blumenthal, that why can't you give President Trump any credit for success of the economy and the jobs?
Very strong economy at home, obviously. Look at what's happening with the jobless numbers that will be out this morning and the stock market. Lowest corporate tax rate ever. And people on both sides said that they wanted to bring the corporate tax rate down. So why, from where you sit, I don't hear Democrats often giving the president credit for this. What gets in your way of giving him credit for some of these things?
There remain severe economic problems and challenges that we need to surmount.
Now, again, this was about the economic numbers.
The problem of gun violence in our society remains without real action.
By the way, what are the severe economic problems? I'm just kind of curious.
I think the economy is improving myself. So
yeah.
I have to ask
our
those
healthcare
who say-
system needs to be improved so that people have access to real quality medical care.
And again, the question was about the economy, and yet we're not talking about it.
Treatment.
Yeah, things
there
are
remain
perfect.
Challenges that
of course.
Need to be overcome.
But do you think that do you give him credit for those things that I just outlined?
I will give him partial credit for some of them. The economy, for example, is, with all due respect, the result of policies begun and sustained by President Obama. And he's enjoying a lot of the credit for it.
On Fox News, Your World, Democrat Chris, this is Chris Amuthi, Democrat representative, was asked this question by Neil Cavuto. And he says, yeah, but again, this is the new Democrat talking points, that all of this success was a lot because of Barack H. Obama.
There is a sense the president is saying that with all this extra dough coming in from companies and sharing the bounty with their workers and all, there's going to be a big old pickup in economic activity. In fact, we're seeing signs of it now. The market rebounding from yesterday. The market, of course, rebounding since the president's election. Do you pin at least some of that on Donald Trump?
I'm willing to give Donald Trump some of the credit, just as I am to President Obama for laying the foundations several years ago for the economic recovery.
And then Charles Payne was asked this question with Martha McCallum from The Story about being asked about, okay, who gets the credit for all this? And she referred to, of course, to a Wall Street Journal article where they say none of the credit goes to President Obama. I asked about this with Fox Business News Network, Charles Payne.
I gotta go, but you know, people say, oh, it's just President Obama laid the foundation for this. But I know the Wall Street Journal did a survey, a 65-something economists and business leaders who said, we attribute these gains to President Trump.
Economists know better, but in the American public, it may be swayed by the mainstream media. But I look at the data, and this optimism really took off in the last 3 months specifically. We really feel much more optimistic specifically in the last 3 months, and that's all President Trump.
The National Rifle Association has now come out and said over the weekend, it was pretty quickly how they did this, they came out and said that they are going to sue the state of Florida because they say that the new law blocks the certain areas of gun freedoms out there, and they say that it also it's unconstitutional because it raises the minimum age from 18 to 21 to buy rifles. Here's the affiliation with News 4 Jack Scott Johnson on this very news story.
Within 3 hours of Governor Scott signing gun control legislation on Friday, we learned the National Rifle Association was suing the state. The NRA is arguing a very specific portion of this bill is wrong in their eyes because it raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. Banning long rifles like the AR-15 is not common nationwide. Very few states do it, and if this heads to the Supreme Court, Florida's law could really impact the country.
Now, here's a question I'd like to ask. Roger Henderson, why is it that it's unconstitutional? I'm asking the question now, just asking the question. Why is it unconstitutional And I want to ask this of you listening right now. Why is it unconstitutional from the ages of going 18 to 21? Now, their handgun here in Florida is you have to be 21 to buy a handgun.
Right.
Now, again, if you wanted, and by the way, the reason why this issue keeps coming up is not because we've got nothing else better to talk about, Roger. This has been, this whole issue of guns after the Parkland shooting almost 4 weeks ago, this continuously has become a big news item. And the question is, why is raising the age from 18 to 21 unconstitutional? Why not under 18? What should be the age for an individual to buy a gun? The Constitution is quiet on that, so should this be left to the states?
You know what? I think you have a point there, because the Constitution does not say anything.
So I have a question. I'm not really trying to make a – I mean, my point's right. In a question, but I mean –
Right, right. I don't see anything in the Constitution that says you have to be a certain age to buy a gun.
In the state of Florida, I mean, why not with the NRA? Why not – I mean, for example, you have to buy – you have to be age 18 to buy ammunition. Okay, now okay. I don't – within this bill. Now, again, it's not to possess a firearm. It's to buy a firearm. Is the age 18, if we're going to raise that, is that unconstitutional to buy – you got to have a parent with you if you're under age 18 to buy ammunition. Why is that not deemed unconstitutional?
You know what? That's a very good question, and I don't know. I personally feel comfortable, though, with older people being the ones who get guns, not teenagers.
And the bill fell short of an all-out assault weapons ban like some of the victims of the mass shooting in South Florida were calling for. It needs to move pretty quickly, not thinking it will take the federal judge too long to make any sort of ruling. I met up with Rod Sullivan, a former constitutional law professor, who says the district court judge on this case is more liberal in his rulings and could favor the state. But the NRA will probably fight this case to the end.
Now, Democrats, with the bill that passed and then the governor signed into law on Friday, over the weekend, some of the news reports out there, according, I think, to the Tampa Bay Times, they came out and said that it's a first baby step. That's what they said, quote, it's a first baby step, and they're going to look to increase this as they continue to move along. But this is the main question. How would the courts proceed with this? Is this deemed unconstitutional, and why invoke the ages if it's considered unconstitutional? From ages, why not 19 or 20, but why 21? And we'll continue to cover this more as we continue to move along. 222-8255. So the question we're asking you this morning, several questions we're asking you. Number one, the liberal left continues to give credit to President Obama for the great economic success. 313,000 jobs created in the month of February. Does President Obama get any credit for that? I want to know what you think about that. And the NRA suing the state of Florida, Roger Henderson, suing the state of Florida because they say it's unconstitutional to raise the minimum age from 18 to 21. Now I want to ask you the question. It's not based on my opinion, but based on your all's opinion there. You listening this morning. What should be the constitutional age, and what is unconstitutional from raising the age 18 to 21? What is unconstitutional about that? Just want to know what you think. 222-TALK, 222-8255, the email address at WBOB.com. What should the age be to buy a gun? If it's unconstitutional from 18 to 21, then what should be the age be? Want to know what you think about this and other issues this morning. 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
And if you're heading into town on I-10 this morning, you'll start to see backup at around Cassett Avenue. I-95 going south at 8th Street. Traffic's building there as cloudy, cooler, and breezy today. A high of 64 degrees. Clear this evening with a low of 41. And right now it's 62 here at WBOB.
Gallagher is next. Prager at noon. Savage at 3. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB Talk Radio.
Here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. The National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional. According to AAA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 20 cents more than this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon this spring. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget included millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays. And Florida Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that include no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
47 minutes after the hour. Good morning. The Monday edition. Ed Dean here in the morning, right here on Talk Radio, WBOB, along with Roger Henderson. One of the biggest underreported stories with, again, this is something that keeps coming up in the news, folks. We got a lot of other things we could be talking about. But now, as you know, with ever since with the Parkland shooting that took place last month here, Roger Henderson, the stories within stories about whether or not doctors should be able to ask you whether or not you own a gun, or what should be the age limit, or what should be arming teachers. I mean, this has had a story within a story. And it continues to go along, as you know, that the NRA now, of course, as we are reporting this morning, is suing the state of Florida. They say that it's unconstitutional to raise the minimum age to 18 to 21. Here's a question. What's unconstitutional about it? I want to know what you think. 222-TALK. 222-8255. I'm just asking a question. What is unconstitutional by raising the age 18 the 21? What is unconstitutional about that? But within this bill is required, when this is what's been proposed in the bill, about having sensitivity training. I am not making this up, folks. Better known as diversity training. Within the bill proposed by Democrats was to have 12 hours. If you're going to arm a teacher, and by the way, Governor Rick Scott signed into this, that, again, this could be left to local municipalities here about whether or not they want to allow teachers to be armed. They're not forcing it. But you can have, you must have 12 hours of diversity training program. Listen to this clip from Tucker Carlson, from Tucker Carlson Tonight. This is what's loaded in the bill.
Well, Florida's Republican-controlled legislature just passed a battery of new gun control laws. The specific law raises the minimum age for buying a gun in the state to 21. It imposes a minimum three-day waiting period and bans bump stocks. It also creates a school for arming employees, but requires them to complete at least 12 hours of diversity training. Tell me why it contains 12 hours of mandatory diversity training. How would that stop mass shootings? But let me just re-ask my question. How would that prevent future mass shootings, which is, I thought, the point of this?
Now, Roger, again, some of the proposals, even here in the city of Jacksonville, by the school board would be, okay, we want them to be FDLE trained or sheriff trained. They got to take all these gun courses, 100 and whatever hours they are. But part of that is sensitivity, let me just wipe away sensitivity, diversity training. Where in the world do you need diversity training when it comes to defending students if you're going to be, as some would say, as an armed teacher? I'm clueless here.
Well, I've actually spoken to some of my African-American friends, including a cousin who's a teacher, and they believe that if you arm teachers, then you put at risk the lives of black students who sometimes are deemed as being, you know,
we have armed resource officers. Yeah. Are they shooting up those in the black community at our public schools?
That's never happened in a public school that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about teachers who aren't trained.
But why would they be attacking black kids?
I don't know. I can tell you they're legitimately concerned about that. And they're also concerned about black teachers with a gun in their hand. And when the police show up after there's been a school shooting, would they be targeted as being the bad guy?
I've heard about it. But again, let's remind everybody that when you look at the history of shootings at schools, have been all in the white community, yeah, not in the black community.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
222-TALK. I want to know what you think about that. 222-TALK, 222-8255. One of the big questions we have this morning, the NRA says that the state of Florida, by raising the minimum age from 18 to 21 to buy rifles, is unconstitutional. We're asking you the question, what is unconstitutional about that? That's the question we're asking. Let's go to Damon. Damon, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. I just got a question. We, Lord, put the amendment in to give the voting age to 18 because all the males are drafted in the military when they turn 18 if there's a draft.
Yeah, so selective service, yeah.
Right. So we gave the right to vote at 18, so I don't see why we should be raising it to 21. I mean, you're telling an 18-year-old, well, we're going to put you in the military, but nah, you don't have a right to carry and bear arms for your personal defense.
Yeah, a lot of people have brought up that argument.
So, to me, I think it is, in a way, not specifically unconstitutional, but against the grain of, I guess, would say, what the Constitution would be about.
Would the unconstitutional part, and this is almost like a facetious question, but some could argue and say that there is no consistency when it comes to our ages, when it comes to voting, serving in the military, selective service, and when it comes to gun laws. Is that, I think, would that be a viable argument?
It would, but we need to get on the same, if we do that, we need to be on the same page with pretty much everything. I understand states have the ability to regulate. The drinking age was never really a federal law. It was always put out as, well, if you don't raise your drinking age to 21, we're going to cut off federal funding.
Right.
Yeah, so that's how they got around that one, and if my memory of history is correct.
Yeah, they're always getting involved. Yeah. That one in itself, Damon, would be unconstitutional.
Constitutional, yeah. So to me, that's how the ball bounced, because they were, if I remember my history correctly, every state had a different drinking age for the longest time until the political action, I guess, from Washington started saying, okay, well, we want the drinking age to be 21. If you don't pass it in your state legislators, we're going to kind of hold off on funding the roads and highways and everything. So.
Damon, thank you for the call, man. Like I said, Damon brings up a very interesting point about the unconstitutional, maybe because, and I think is there somewhat of an interesting argument that we're just totally inconsistent when it comes to, I mean, if voting right now is constitutional, why not raise the age of freedom of speech? Remember, the left says that health care is constitutional. It's a right, but yet underneath that right, kids can be underneath their parents' policy to 26.
You're right. With respect to 18-year-olds joining the military, I haven't mentioned this before.
17-year-olds.
But, yeah, 17-year-olds with your parents' permission. You're correct. The level of training and discipline one of our uniformed soldiers, sailors are under, that's a totally different thing than a free citizen going down and buying a gun at a gun shop, in my opinion.
222-8255 Tony wants to weigh in this morning. Hi, Tony. Good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, Ed. Real quick, teachers are barred from that program. If you're exclusively a teacher in the classroom, you cannot be part of the program. You have to be something other than a teacher.
Well, I've read both stories on that. I know that the governor sat back and said that he's going to allow to the local municipalities to decide all of that, but that's how I read it.
Yeah, you have to be like a coach or a lunch person or janitor, but if you're exclusively a teacher, you can't be part of the program.
So wait, you can't be part of what program?
The Defender program or whatever. You can't carry.
Well, now, they see, now I keep hearing different things on that. The governor says that the local municipality can change, they have the option to change that around if they want. I think you're right, according to the state bill, they're not mandatory, it's not becoming mandatory, but he also said on Friday that he would allow that the local, the sheriff department wanted to work out some sort of deal or the school boards that they could institute it on their own. So I think you're right. I think but when you look at certain areas of the bill, I think they've allowed local option for the local schools to do that. I think that's what he was saying.
I don't think there's going to be any teachers carrying it at all. I don't think any of the school boards are going to pick this up anyway.
So yeah, you're probably right. Point. Yeah, you're probably right. Do you see, Tony, do you see more of the issue of more resource officers? I mean, there's more funding for that, but do you see more of that being picked up, or do you think that'll kind of become, unless there's any more school shootings, that'll go by the wayside? What do you think?
Yeah, that's probably so. And I heard one good idea about moving, like they've got these satellite police stations around. Why don't they move some of them satellite police stations inside schools?
You know, Rogers even put him in the cafeteria, Tony.
Yeah. All right, I got to go ahead. Good day.
Hey, Tony, thanks for the call. Yeah, there has been a discrepancy. There's not a mandatory against the teachers to carry them, but if the schools want to do that, I think that was part of the provision. More of your calls coming up next. Those of you on hold at 222-TALK. 222-8255. This is WBOB.
And we are starting to see traffic build at 295 going north and around Bay Meadows Road and I-10 heading into town. Starting at McDuff Avenue, we're seeing a lot of traffic on the traffic.